Warning, the following broadcast is offensive, marginally funny, and contains no educational value whatsoever. It is intended for immature audiences only.
Welcome to another edition of That Riot Show. This is your host, Big Fat John.
And Judo, Larry M.
You ever see a steam pipe when too much pressure builds up in a boiler or something? What happens?
Are you saying that little pipe over there?
Yeah, that blows off steam.
Really?
The relief valve. Phil's an engineer. He understands. Has a relief valve. Why do you think God gave you a dick? It's to avoid stress, man. He needs
a blowjob. But not just any old blowjob.
Isn't that funny? Women cause stress, and then they can relieve it.
There you go.
This is fucked up. Now, work up all your science very quickly. We're going to give you 2 or 3 seconds. Then work it up.
Yep.
Okay. 1 in 15. They had an abstinence policy, but 1 in 15 for me.
Yep.
Go.
I'll tell you exactly what it is from a scientific standpoint. I'd be happy to. You know what it is? You can't stop teenagers from fucking.
This is fucked up.
I know I'm getting old. This very week, I've sat on my balls twice.
This is fucked up.
Unfortunately, on this visual medium, you have to put up with this. Look at this. See? Larry, feel that.
No.
Oh, you're gay.
This is fucked up.
Hey, Phil, what kind of time we got left? Hold, I can't see it from here. What you got? 10 minutes? Lucky for you folks, there's 10. Whoa, what did you have for dinner? Jesus Christ, that belch.
Smells
like a Mexican's ass. Whoa, what the hell's going on? Oh.
This is fucked up.
All right, welcome to this edition of The Riot. This is your host, Big Fat John.
And Judo, Larry.
All right, Larry. Going to get into the topics of the week, but before we do, it's always a good time to reinforce the principles of free market capitalism, Larry, and you know what that means.
It means deduce. We're pimping,
bitch. All right, go to thatriotshow.com, thatriotshow.com for all your riotous needs. Check out past episodes, show synopses. You can figure out all our links and everything you need to know about the show. Except Larry's cock size. He only gives that out for personal messages.
This is it. And if you want to see it in person, come to New York and visit us.
All right. ThatRiotShow.com. ThatRiotShow.com. Again, go to the website. Check everything out over there. When you're done with that, you can also check us out on social media. Go to Facebook. Facebook.com/ThatRiotShow. Facebook.com/ThatRiotShow. Become a fan of the page. Help us out a little bit. Put a little coin in our pockets. Go to Facebook.com/ThatRiotShow. Facebook.com/ThatRiotShow. Larry, speaking of coin, where the real coin gets transferred, earned, made, sold, pimped, whatever you want to call it, go to Twitter. Twitter.com/ThatRiotShow. Twitter.com/ThatRiotShow, Larry. Where you can catch the fun that is the riot. On Twitter. We keep saying this. You really want to follow our Twitter feed. That's where we get nasty, as opposed to this, where we're just a delight.
We are just the nicest people. Unless you start arguing with this person.
But whatever. So, yeah, go to twitter.com/ThatRiotShow. All right. Phil, do us a favor from behind the booth over there. Do the Scroll-O podcast. If you're listening to us instead of enjoying the visual awesomeness that is our faces, then that means you have to go to one of the great podcast platforms out there, iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, Podomatic, Player FM, Mixcloud, TuneIn, SoundCloud, anywhere podcasts can be found. Odds are you'll find us there whoring our content out. Just search for That Riot Show, That Riot Show, all one word. On all of those great platforms, and probably some that I don't even know about. Phil takes care of most of this. I don't know where else they are. But anyway, so that's it, Larry. That's the pimping. Got some stuff to talk about. So let's start off with what seems to be dominating the news for some unknown reason, Larry.
Yes.
And that's the whole NFL players taking a knee, Trump telling them to go fuck themselves, Larry. This thing has really, really blown out of proportion ever since Colin Kaepernick and maybe Michael Bennett started doing this.
Very unpatriotic.
Oh, God.
Insulting our soldiers, our brave men and women. Fire those sons of bitches. Wouldn't you love to see an NFL owner say, get that son of a bitch out of here.
Yeah.
You're fired.
Look, Larry, I don't know how you feel, but Look, one of the things that I find hilarious in this sort of debate is the, again, the utter flip-flop of hypocrisy that occurs on both sides. So, from the right, all of a sudden, NFL players have become ambassadors. NFL players are representative of the culture war.
Yeah.
NFL players are pseudo-politicians because a fucking NFL player getting down on one knee during the national anthem somehow needs to be treated as if it were high crimes and treason, Larry.
Yes, apparently this is akin to mass murder.
Yeah.
Instead of just a bunch of morons kneeling. I say that because I don't even think most of them even know what the hell they're kneeling down for. I really don't. I think if you question them, they'd be like, we're protesting shit. Like, yeah. I don't think that there's been a lot of thought put into this. It's more or less, I mean, I know Kaepernick had the thing with police brutality, but I think it's more or less at this point just to be obnoxious to Trump, who they don't like.
Right.
And he's rallying the base. Like, he was in Alabama.
Right.
And he talked about this in Alabama. And he's talking about this, and he's talking about how disrespectful it is, and our soldiers. See, and this is what he does. He goes out on the road. He's learned. Let's face it. He goes, he has rallies.
They're not that hard to figure out, Larry.
Yeah, they love showing up. They love, it's an event. It's like going to like a concert for them. Like, they love it. He rambles on like a stream of thought for like 2 hours.
Yeah.
Well, I give him that
same
much.
Same stupid shit.
Yeah, the same stupid thing. But he can just blither on. They love it.
Yeah.
They stand there with their signs, like, promises
MAGA.
Made.
MAGA, bitch.
So, yeah, all these guys kneeling down. Now the white guys are doing it, too. Let's face it.
Well, it's hilarious. It's hilarious to me because, first of all, why is the president involved? I still don't understand this part. Like, why would a president involve himself in this nonsense? And even if he did, you have to, look, you have to be measured when you're the president because I'm still not convinced that the president using the official Twitter account, by the way, the official Twitter account and all that stuff,
yeah,
that's a form of government communication.
Oh, yeah.
So if the president uses that medium to try to get people fired, to try to get people to change their behavior,
yeah,
to try to silence what is considered political speech, I'm not entirely sure that that's, you know, in line with the First Amendment.
Right.
You know, because for all you numbnuts on the right who say, well, freedom of speech is not freedom from consequences. Yes, we all get that. But in this particular case, it may not be that it's just consequences in the private market.
Right.
It could be consequences inflicted by
his tweets.
By his tweet.
Now, his argument is that he, you know, because he loves it, we talked about
right,
it, he loves circumventing the press.
Sure.
So he doesn't have to have CNN and fake news and MSNBC and those guys who he hates. He doesn't have to have them kind of taking his message and putting it out there, maybe changing it or filtering. He's speaking directly
right
to people as part of his like transparency concept. But you're absolutely right. It's a very good point. He's, you know, it's a different kind of bully pulpit. But whether it's constitutional,
I don't know.
Because
I don't know that
it's worth talking about.
Could you sue him if you're the NFL? Probably not. Probably not. But you have to consider that if it's not unconstitutional, it's as close to unconstitutional as you can get,
yeah,
without being unconstitutional. Now, the other thing to keep in mind is not only does he shit on the NFL, which again, I have no understanding why he would get himself involved in this other than to rally the rules, but he's also pro NASCAR all of a sudden. Did you notice that?
Oh, yeah.
That, oh, you never see this happening in NASCAR. Well, yeah, nobody kneels on a track with cars, you know, you're not going to get run
yeah,
over.
Yeah, but as somebody pointed out the other day, there is a racial component to this.
Well,
the guys who kneel down are black,
mostly,
by and large.
Mostly.
You're not seeing this in NASCAR, which is
mostly white.
You're not seeing it in hockey, which is white. You're not seeing this, or almost all white. But you're seeing it in football. You're probably going to see it in the NBA when they.
Well,
when
it's,
they
also the, it's also the fans of each respective sport.
Yeah.
Now, while there are plenty of rubes that watch football, I'm not going to deny that.
NASCAR
is almost exclusively rubes, right?
It's a little lot of Hispanics watching.
No, I know, but for the most part, I'm
yeah,
saying.
No,
like,
I understand.
If you took 90%, like,
yeah,
90%
in
like,
the South and then
right,
white people.
Yeah. Yeah. It's about as rube as hockey is white. You know,
right,
it's like, let's put it that way, right? Or whatever, however you want to look at it. But look at what he's picked on. People also overlook. He also shit on the guy from the Golden State Warriors.
Oh, Curry.
Curry, when he said, I don't want to go visit Trump. No. Now, look, in the past, there have been plenty of athletes who've refused to attend the president hosting the winning team of a sport.
Right.
It happened with Reagan. I know one or two, I forget who it was, didn't want to do it with Clinton because they were, like, super religious and they thought he was, you know.
Yeah, there were a couple of guys.
It always happens.
It happened to Obama a couple of times.
By the way, Trump is the only cocksucker who then disinvited the whole team. So when Steph Curry said, I'm not going, like, literally, like a spoiled child, like some fucking spurned cunt, he then, 10 minutes later, said, invitation rescinded, you are no longer here, you're not welcome here. I mean, how petty. Again, say what you want about Stephen Curry. The president has to rise above that
shit. He's supposed to be a better example.
Right. You could say, I disagree with him, but the rest of the Warriors are welcome, or whatever.
Right.
But it's not coincidence, in my mind, and I've said this all along, that in playing to his base, he's a fucking racist. Because he did it to he did this to Steph Curry, a black man. He did it to the Warriors, largely a black team, that has a fan base that is not roots. Like, if NASCAR is practically all roots, the polar opposite of that is probably basketball, which is very urban, probably more popular in the North than the South. You know, there's like a lot of shit that's underlying all this. Then you look at the NFL, again, who are the people mostly protesting? Black athletes.
Right.
And Trump has no problem.
80% of the league.
Right. And he literally said, if I was an owner, whoever didn't take a knee, fire those sons of bitches. Fire them. He used the phrase sons of bitches, okay? Yeah. How unpresidential to say that. How unpresidential. He could have said something like, I disagree with their protest. I think it disrespects the flag, but they have a right to do whatever they want to do, and their teams get to deal with them. Like, that's a statement that's strong, but is still somewhat presidential.
How about they have the right to do it, and guess what? I have bigger fish to fry. And,
yeah.
And you move on.
That would have been the best.
Why are you even, I mean, I know why he does it. It's also the distraction quality.
Right.
Nobody's talking about Russia right now.
Right.
Nobody's talking about the another failed healthcare attempt.
Oh, the private email domain and server that his son-in-law and daughter used, which is the shit that he complained.
And it turns out that his son-in-law, Jared, is actually a woman also. We'll talk about that later. Yeah. So there's also the sleight of hand that's going on here. But why he's involved in this and why he's saying, the only thing I'll criticize him for, I thought it was kind of weak for the Jacksonville Ravens game in England. They kneeled down during the national anthem, but then they stood for God Save the Queen. I mean, come on. For God's sake, you're standing for their national anthem?
There's a lot of fuck you and Trump going on. I'll get to the player side. But if you're Trump, also, think about this. When the Nazi shit went down in Charlottesville, you said they're not all bad people.
Yeah, and you said there was problem on both sides. And,
right? Yeah. And you diffused it, and you kind of went out of your way to make sure you didn't condemn all fucking Nazis for some reason. Okay? Less than a month later, this shit goes down, and you throw gasoline on the fire. Mind you, before Trump got involved with the Steph Curry thing and everything else, this was basically just Kaepernick, who's not even in the NFL anymore, who's an avowed communist, if you listen to him, okay? Yeah. You took that one shithead's little plight, and you poured gasoline on it. So, not only are you a racist fuck if you're Trump, you also strategically alienated, again, 65 to 70% of the country. The only people in line with you are the fucking rubes that elected you to begin with. You're not growing your base. You're not enhancing your legacy. And in no way are you a president of all the people, bringing people together, or even pretending to try to bring everyone together. Larry. Yeah, that's the other thing. He just doesn't give a fuck.
Excuse me. You're absolutely right. If you're not going to show leadership, and you're not going to bring people together and say, look, I understand, like, police brutality is a problem. It's something. If you're not going to do that, then do what I just said. Just stay at it.
Yep.
Just go. You got that idiot in North Korea. The Iranians are shooting off missiles now. You're doing tax reform. Healthcare failed again. Okay? You got so much. You backed the guy in Alabama who lost. You got enough kicks in the ass that are going on. But you know what the funny thing is? I actually think he just loves it. I really do. I think he thrives on the static and the tension and the
You know, like, a lot of people have looked at it, like all the people who've already come and gone from his administration, look at that as bad. I think he looks at it as good. I think he thinks like everybody has like a 6-month shelf life.
Yeah.
And he's going to fire them at some point and get rid of them. Like, I think all this that is not normal for our political system. I think he loves it. I really do. But as far as this, just, you know what? If you're not going to show leadership, do me a favor. Just stay out of it.
You would hope he would do that. And you would hope that.
And I would wish that they would stop doing the kneel down. And I'll say for one reason. And the NFL is suffering for this. Let me tell you something. Their ratings are down. Sunday night football is down 7%. I've seen other numbers. The Thursday night football, they're down. But attendance is slightly down. But you know what? I will say this. Whatever you're kneeling, whatever your protest, try to remember that people watch football, watch sports, for the same reason that they listen to music and other things, go to movies. Because it's light. You know, it gets them away from the serious stuff of their life, heavy stuff. And they go there for the distraction, for the entertainment quality. And I don't think people like having a lot of heavy stuff in their face with these kinds of things.
I don't disagree
and
with you.
That's why, like the princess, that's why you see a lot of people get mad with the people from Hollywood. Because they're always weighing in on politics and you know where they're coming from. And most people in this country don't agree with them. And think they're assholes and don't want that. They want to be able to go to a movie and see a movie and they want the distraction quality of it. They want to have, you know, something that takes them away from the serious stuff in their life. Now, if you do this in entertainment, everything, well, then everything's serious all the time and it kind of ruins it for people. And the NFL is taking a hit on this. There's no doubt about it.
I will say you're right. Ratings are down, but I would disagree with even Trump's assertion that ratings being down are due to him being right and the players kneeling causing.
Well, I'm not making that argument.
No, but Trump is.
Yeah, I just think that people are starting to get turned off.
Well, the thing is also, don't forget, the NFL has suffered this year from poor play. You know, just to get a little sports geeky on you, coaches, because of the 4 preseason games and the players union, really are encouraging their star players not to participate in all preseason. Mm-hmm. The end result is you have poor offensive line play. You have poor communication with quarterbacks and receivers. And unless you've got a team full of veterans that have been through it a lot already, and you can see it suffering already. You can see it with the Giants. You can see it with the Raiders. You can see it with teams that were supposed to be good. Some things just aren't working. And that I think that's why ratings are down slightly. I think it has nothing
to do. That could be part of it. That could be part of it. Also, they you know, the union, they changed a few years ago. Like, they don't do 2-a-days anymore.
Right.
They don't practice as much, and they don't look crisp. Right. So the first, like, 4 games of the season.
It's
really
like preseason.
Poor, yeah, it's like continuation of preseason. It's actually poor football. It's actually been not entertaining. There's been 1 or 2 entertaining games, but a lot of them have been
duds, let's face it.
Yeah, let's face it.
And then the other thing to keep in mind is people, for some reason right now, seem to assume that the NFL, there's this viral internet thing going around that it's a violation in the rule book of Rule 62 and 63, and that's horseshit. There is no Rule 62 and 63 about the flag. As a matter of fact, the official rule book of the NFL does not mention the national anthem, standing for it, like being on the sidelines for it. It mentions none of that shit.
Right, it's just an assumption.
Right, there's a separate document that the NFL has that's sort of like a conduct document, which is meant to be how teams police themselves, but they're not official rules. And one of them is that players should be out for the national anthem and they should stand up. But in the rules, it says it's not a penalty. It says there may be a penalty. In other words, each team gets to decide. But here's another thing to consider for people like Larry, and I know what he meant, but people are saying, oh, I don't want politics in my sports. Keep in mind, prior to 2009, there was no standing on the sidelines by the teams during the national anthem. They stayed in the locker room. In 2009, the government paid the NFL, Larry, to have its players stand during the national anthem and other activities to help boost recruitment into the armed services.
Oh, sure.
So they got paid a couple of million dollars, like I forget how much, $12, $15 million. And it sort of became a practice after 2009. So you have to understand that if you're a conservative, if you're fucking a Republican, keep in mind that your bullshit about, like, there's no politics in football. No. The fact that they're standing there is politics. Because if you're old school like I am and like Larry's, 20 years ago, no standing on the sidelines.
Yeah,
10 years ago, no standing on the sidelines, right? This is a very specific, and it's fine. If the NFL wants to take money to use its players to advertise something, that's their business. But for the piety of it, for all you pious assholes like the Brent Bozells of the world and the fucking idiots over, you know, with at Fox and Breitbart. Football had politics injected less than 10 years ago, okay? Yeah. So let's not pretend like there's no politics involved. But the truth of the matter is Trump getting himself involved is horrible. This right. is no better than when Obama said he wants to have a beer with that cop and the guy he arrested right. in Connecticut. That was bullshit. We called it out. If you're consistent, you call it out. And if you're on the left, really, now you're talking to me about the spirit of the free speech? Now you're talking about free spirit?
Free speech.
Free speech and the spirit and not the letter of the law? So when these asshole Republicans point out that this is private consequences, you start crying about, but it's the spirit. Really? Is it the spirit when you shut people down at Berkeley? Yeah. Is it the spirit when Antifa shuts down people at NYU? Even fucking Alan Dershowitz wrote something this past week calling out the left, not the right.
I gotta tell you, I've seen him in a bunch of interviews. Yeah. He's becoming remarkably more conservative for what I would call a very traditional, like, liberal Jewish guy. He's actually, I mean, and he's known for his brilliance. I mean, he's actually coming slightly, I would say, even slightly
well,
more.
That's what we talked about.
Or at least it comes across that way.
Right.
Because he's challenging all these radical assholes. And that's a good point.
Yeah.
If the left is so concerned about free speech and their right yeah. to protest, how come you're not standing up for Milo Yiannopoulos or Gavin McInnes or Ben Shapiro or any yeah. of these people or even stupid Ann Coulter who gets attacked? You know what? The hypocrisy is
like
ridiculous.
I said, it's on both sides, yeah. right? So if you're going to claim, which I agree with, let's follow the spirit of free speech.
Absolutely.
Right?
Let them kneel. Let them kneel.
Let them fucking kneel, you rubes. And on the left, let fucking Milo go to Berkeley.
And quite frankly, even though you don't like it, you know what? They had a proper permit. Let the stupid alt-right idiots have their protest. They had a permit. The left-wingers who showed up in Charlottesville who were just spoiling for a fight. They didn't have a permit. They had nothing. They just showed up. You know what? They had their permit. Let them walk around with their stupid tiki torches. If you're really worried about these guys, you're out of your mind. It's right. a couple of hundred idiots.
And again, Trump knows how to throw fuel on the fire.
And he loves it, though.
And on the distraction front.
Yeah.
Just a segue. He's usually the queen of segues. Now I'll be the segue bitch. But here's the other thing. Talk about your distractions. Hurricane Maria. Devastated Puerto Rico. I mean, that island, Larry, is fucked up. They have no power. They probably won't have power, they said, for six, seven, 8 months.
Yeah.
Okay?
There's no clean water.
No drinking water, nothing. Okay? Trump tweeted between 20 and 30 times about the NFL without tweeting once about Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
Support. Anything, okay?
Lots of comments about Texas and Florida.
Yeah.
After that.
But not Puerto Rico, okay?
Not Puerto Rico.
Now. You have to
know it's part of this country.
Well, that's the thing. I don't know that Trump understands that the people of Puerto Rico are U.S. citizens.
Yes.
They're U.S. citizens, you fuck. It's not foreign aid for you to send help to Puerto Rico. You're not dealing with North Korea by not mentioning them when they've had this tremendous humanitarian crisis. This catastrophe hit them. Why aren't you deploying FEMA? Why aren't you deploying the Army, the Navy, whatever it takes? These are U.S. citizens.
Right.
U.S. citizens are now, we're being told, they're just, what the fuck? Now, some people have blamed the Jones Act, Larry.
Yeah.
Right? The Jones Act, which was, I think, in 1927 established. And what it says is that within, Puerto Rico, the U.S. Virgin Islands and everything, all these ports of call, a certain percentage can only be trafficked by ships flying a U.S. flag. Okay?
All right.
Which means you can't enlist private non-U.S. entities
right.
or foreign cargo ships to bring things. Why was that done? Because back in 1927, you still had a socialist influence, just as much as today, a statist influence, because you were protectionist.
Right.
You wanted to protect U.S. shipping jobs. So if by law you said that only right. U.S. ships and only U.S. maritime personnel can move stuff, the Jones Act, right? So now, the irony, I saw Rachel Maddow, Joy Reid, Chris Hayes, that asshole Larry O'Donnell, all these fucking leftists are crying, Oh, the conservatives don't want to waive the Jones Act, Larry. The Jones Act is an outdated piece of shit. Yeah, it was outdated the second it was approved. The second it was passed, it was outdated.
It was outdated back then.
Because it's an anti-free market, pro-statist, nationalist bullshit. Okay? So as much as the people of Puerto Rico are suffering right now, let me take half a step to remind all you fucking liberals. This is what happens when you fuck with the free market. Okay? Otherwise, there would be people flying down to Puerto Rico either out of charity or at a price to get them the help they need.
Right. And instead, 3 million people, I think that's the population,
are suffering.
Are suffering.
Dying.
Tremendously. They've got, the hospitals are a mess. Apparently, only 11 are functioning now.
No communication.
There's nothing. There's no food. There's some food, but no water, clean water. I mean, and I've seen just photos, homes gone. I mean, this rebuilding this island is going to be, my God, it's going to, I don't even know what the cost is going to be.
It's horrible. And again, I can't emphasize enough, the president doesn't give a shit. He doesn't give a shit because the only reason you can assume, there's two reasons, Larry. One is he thinks they're not U.S. citizens, yeah. which is not a really good excuse anyway. Like, we're all humans, and it's not like Puerto Rico was fucking bombing us or anything the way fucking savages in Iraq are, okay?
Do you think he knows? Seriously.
No,
does he know that it was a congressional, like, edict or something?
Yeah,
like that?
Does
he know, like, in, like, 1920?
Yeah, it was right around the same time the Jones Act was saying
that came a few years ago.
There was a decree that said that the citizens of Puerto Rico are the only mainland-born U.S. Yeah. that were given citizenship rights.
I wonder if he knows.
He does. Look, being a New Yorker.
I mean, he lived in New Yorker, yeah, and like, you know, down on the Lower East Side, you have a heavy Puerto Rican population, even to this day. I wonder if
he knows. He may not.
Or he knows and he doesn't care. I mean, what does that say?
Well, that's one possibility. And the second possibility, which is just as likely as anything else, is he doesn't care because nobody voted for him. He doesn't care because they're not white.
Hmm.
I mean, I can't come to any other conclusions. For him to be distracted by four cocksuckers kneeling in the NFL to the point where he ignores his sworn oath to defend and uphold the Constitution and to protect the U.S. citizenry, to just fucking forget about Puerto Rico, not even mention them. And then when he finally did mention them, Larry, he mentioned something about their inheritable debt. They owe Wall Street a lot of money. Many years of bad liberal policies, not good. That's why they're in the shape.
Why don't you build a wall around it?
Like, literally, that's what you have to say at this time? Really? That's what you have to say? You could say the same thing about 30 of the 50 states. You could literally say the same thing about Michigan. You could say the same thing about
California,
all right?
Despite being the fifth largest economy in the world. Their debt situation is insane.
It's horrible. So, and look, I don't necessarily fall into the race card for as an explanation for everything,
no,
Larry.
No, not for everything. But sometimes you have to just look at the obvious.
Sometimes a cigar is just a cigar.
Couldn't wait to help Texas out.
Or Florida. Yeehaw! Or Florida.
Well, Florida has a lot of non-white people. But, yeah. But Texas? He couldn't wait to get down there and help Florida? I don't know what's going on, but I mean, look, quite frankly, as president, if I was president, I'd be in Puerto Rico right now, trying to draw as much attention. The Jones Act, fuck that. Get as much help as we can if we have to get these people to the mainland.
Now, by the way,
I understand you might not want them here, but you know what? They're U.S. citizens.
But now, FYI, as we started recording, it was announced that Congress provided a temporary waiver to the Jones Act. Okay. So they are going to start, finally, after a week and a half,
yeah.
They're finally going to start allowing anybody to be able to take supplies to them. But, A, why is that an issue now? I don't understand. And B, Congress, Trump, why don't you fucking repeal the Jones Act altogether? It's a piece of shit, statist, protectionist, nationalist piece of legislation. Which, by the way, we've pointed out a long time, that's what Trump is. He's not a conservative. He's not a real Republican. He's certainly not a free marketeer. He's a fucking statist, nationalist, protectionist. The Jones Act is something that he would, if it wasn't in place, I would fully expect him to propose a law like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Simply because it lives up to everything he gets a hard-on for.
And he would go out and say how he's protecting U.S. jobs.
Right.
Right. You know, so like, I mean, you know, do me a favor, learn something from this. I don't know if there's like a similar thing around Hawaii or something,
yeah.
But like, whatever the deal is, learn from this, the Jones Act. It's a very good point. This is really a terrible thing. And it's equally bad that he's paying attention to kneeling football players.
Yeah.
And he's not paying attention to these people who are like at death's door.
And U.S. citizens.
And no joke. Who knows what he knows about that island and the history of it, or that they're U.S. citizens.
In other words, he might think it's just another part of Mexico.
No, but in other words, he might just think it's another like Caribbean island, like, well, like Aruba or Barbuda that got destroyed by, or, you know, like, in other words, he might think it's like part of Cuba or something. Who knows what he thinks about it? So, it's kind of strange.
It is kind of strange, and that being a segue.
And that being another of my lovely segues. Luther Strange.
Trump's boy.
Yep. He got the guilty plea from Judge Roy Moore. So
first of all, Alabama, I have to tell you, Larry, has the most fucking inbred, fucked up candidates anyway.
Yeah, I know. They won't
no matter who it is, it seems like it's a bad sort of choice, no matter who you get. But anyway. So Luther Strange was, I think, the incumbent, right, Larry?
Yeah.
That Trump supported. 100% this guy Strange went in for the Rube transformation, fully behind Trump's nonsense and all that. Roy Moore, it turns out, is actually more of a conservative. And by conservative, I mean like...
He's a religious right conservative.
Yeah,
he's right out of the playbook.
He really thinks this is 1910.
Yeah. He has said things about like gay people and other people that are just insane.
He's been removed from the bench in Alabama for his political opinions twice. Not once.
And twice.
Twice. Because he refused to accept that the Supreme Court has the final say in shit.
They're not Christians. He's listening to Jesus. I've said this before, I've told this person, when people listen to Jesus, your man-written... get away.
Comes from above.
Yep. Let me tell you, man. He's doing what God said. So good, take him off the bench. So now he won. And Luther Strange. Now, of course, Trump being Trump, I don't know if anybody.
No shit here.
First off, he had to spend 10 minutes talking about how tall Luther Strange is. What's he got with tall people? He's like 7 feet tall. I've never seen a guy like this. I feel so small standing next to him. And they show a picture of him, like Luther Strange really is. He's a big huge guy. He's like 7 feet tall. But why is that relevant? And like little Marco, like he's obsessed with penis size and tall. And oh my God. So anyway, Roy Moore wins. And
Trump went out and erased every tweet. He deleted every tweet of him supporting Strange. Okay. Then, as soon as Moore won, he got on to say, "Roy Moore, winner, awesome.
Always liked him.
Always liked him.
Luther Strange, bad name. Lex Luthor.
Looks like Lurch. Too fucking tall for his own good." Yeah. So this guy, if it's a lesson to any of you other Republicans that follow him. He'll sell you out in a fucking New York minute.
Yeah.
And if you don't know what a New York minute is, that's about 10 seconds.
Yeah.
Okay?
Well, he even said when he went down there, he goes, "Everybody knows I don't want to be doing this. I'm at a primary." He said, he goes, "I don't want to be doing this." Like, oh, my God.
He'll sell you out in a fucking New York minute. He doesn't give a shit about Luther Strange anymore. He's a loser. He's on
the he's a loser. Group, okay? That's it.
That's all there is to it. But what's interesting about it now is because he's sensing, like, he can't get his healthcare nonsense through, right, Larry?
Yeah.
Now he lost in Alabama. Really, despite what he's pretending like it never happened,
right?
That's his first big loss politically.
Yeah, that's the first.
That's the first big one. Like the other ones. Now, I'm not going to read too much into it because I still think a Republican's guy. I think Moore will beat the Democrat. But so it's not like, oh my God, this is the sign that Trump is out in 2018. No, don't be like.
But you know, it's funny. Very quickly, the Democrats actually are going to try and make a push for the state.
Of course,
they're actually usually Alabama, those states just vote Republican. But they're actually, Joe Biden was doing cold calls down there, so they're actually trying to. They actually think they have a shot to see. I don't.
I think
this guy will get
53%. But my point is that I don't think it's the damaging political omen that Democrats think it is. But what it is it's a blow to Trump's ego, because this is his first loss, right? And I think that's the reason why he announced yesterday, Larry, that he is now all in on Rand Paul's health care proposal.
Oh, my God.
Now, you know the two of us have been pleading for a year and a half. Listen to this fucking guy. Listen to Rand Paul. He, not only is he a doctor, he's a free marketeer. He's not for keeping shitty Obamacare 2.0. All this, like, the...
He's the only one who stood on principle.
The Graham... What was it? What's the...
Graham Cassidy.
That piece of shit, which is just Obamacare 2.0. Okay? Now, if it's really the case that they're going to take his free market appeal and keep it the way it is without watering it down, all right, look, I said, I'll applaud the cocksucker when he does something right. Yeah. Even the stop clock is right twice a day, Larry. Yeah,
if he gets health care right or the tax plan, so good.
You know, if it took Luther Strange losing, which nobody liked anyway, to get him to sort of run over to Rand Paul, God bless. I hope it happens. I hope the rest of the rubes on the Republican side stand with Rand, because you know it's not going to be any Democrats in on this. What's his face? Bernie is already complaining about everything again.
Schumer, everybody.
Yeah. Because the truth of the matter is, we want Obamacare done, full repeal, zero leftover, nothing. Yeah. And let's start with a free market approach, okay? But what you see the opposition doing, Larry, is what they've always done. Oh, getting rid of Obamacare means 29 million people are being sentenced to death. Yeah. 29 million people will die. It's not fair that people...
30 million people who currently have coverage will lose their coverage. Now, we've already critiqued that is such horseshit,
right?
That number is such crap. But that's what they're putting out there. And you know what? You realize, like, sometimes when you watch, like, Elizabeth Warren talk about it, you realize, like, here's an interesting thing. Like, Obamacare went through, okay, and it was very, it was written in a very confusing, you know, way, and you know.
Obtuse.
It was done this way for a reason. Here's an interesting thing. Is it possible that they just simply looked at it as, look, we'll put this through. If it works out, great.
Yeah.
You know, we covered a lot of people who didn't have coverage, and we look great. We're the ones, we're the heroes. Right. We gave coverage to people who didn't have coverage.
Right.
If it fails, we'll blame the Republicans, and we'll run on socialized medicine in 2020 because they'll already have a taste for government-provided health care, and we will be the party that says, look, we want everybody to be covered. They don't.
Right.
And I'm not pointing at you.
I know.
And so, like, you know, it's interesting the way the Democrats seem to be playing this. It's kind of, well, if Obamacare works out, great. If it doesn't, it'll just, everybody's already gotten a taste for a government provide health care. We can run on, as I've been saying all along, the Democrats are going to run on a single payer system in 2020.
Now, again,
which we don't need.
Larry's got a great point here because, listen, once you give something to someone from the government for free, forget about it. It's there forever. No matter what, you can prove that it causes ass cancer. It doesn't matter. They're just not going to take it away because it's free. But here's the problem. It doesn't work. It makes things more expensive. It reduces the quality of healthcare. So you have to understand something. Socialized anything does not mean that the poor people get brought up. What it means is the successful people get dragged down. And when that happens, all of society suffers. I don't care if you think it's elitist or not. That's the way society has moved forward throughout history.
Yeah, but their argument's going to be, well, it's the top 1%.
Whatever.
They don't care.
Yeah, right.
That's stupid.
Top 1% don't care. Fuck them. You're right. They don't care.
No, I meant don't care that the people on the left who want something
right,
like that.
Right.
When you say it's going to bring people down, they don't care about that. They want people covered.
Yeah.
And they think this is going to be fantastic.
But what people, again, socialists don't understand is, okay, first you say let's bring down the top 1%. But what happens when there's no more top 1%? Then you go to the top 5%. Then what happens when they're all gone? Then you go to the top 10%, and so on and so on and so forth. They don't seem to understand that when you lower the ceiling, you set a new ceiling, and that automatically becomes your new target. So socialism mathematically doesn't work. Politically, it doesn't work. And Larry, morally, it doesn't work.
Yes.
By saying, now, how are you going to, you have to, it's going to hurt. We've said it before. If you go free market with healthcare and say just, anybody below the poverty line, we're going to give them their policy for the sake of argument. Sort of like a guaranteed universal income, right? Get government out of it. That's the first win. Get government out of medicine. Prices will plummet, I guarantee you. They'll go up and then they'll plummet, just like we've seen in every case where government is extricated from the market. First, there'll be greedy people. It'll drive it up.
Yeah.
And bam, everybody will have a good price. Like it did with electronics, like it did with phone service, like it did with cable, like with all that shit, mm-hmm. right? Now, what else will happen after that? You will get people to understand the difference between healthcare and health insurance. We went over it. Healthcare is the treatment. Health insurance is how you pay for it, okay? The two don't need to be linked. The same way your life insurance is not linked to your job, right. not linked to the government. You buy as much life insurance as you can afford for what you need. And it's portable, okay? All this wonderful stuff that the free market brings you that is missing. Pharmaceutical companies will have competition, both internally with lower regulation and from foreign interests. Yes, the thing Trump hates. You have to have competition from Canadian pharmacies, from Indian pharmacies, right. from Chinese, whatever the fuck. Just get that competition. Think about your automobiles, okay?
Well, think of any business.
Yeah.
The more competition is, the better it is for the consumer.
But there you go, Larry. This man right here, he always used to say, I don't care about what's good for government. I care what's good for the people. Yeah. He didn't care what was good for the conglomerates. He cared what was good for the people. And that's all we're saying. Look, people used to hate foreign cars in this country, right? Oh, my God, you're going to destroy all those jobs in Michigan.
You're not buying
American. The big three, you're not buying American. Go fuck yourself. When I rent a car, I have the thing in my travel profile, no American car rentals. Because they're all pieces of shit. I'll drive my Honda. I'll drive my Nissan. I'll drive a Toyota. Someone gives me a Ford or a Dodge. Go fuck yourselves. I had to drive one last week, Larry, when I was on business in Kansas City. And all they had was a Dodge. The Journey. What a piece of shit.
It's like a tank.
But I wish it were a tank.
No, but I mean, it's like a big, just gas.
But I mean, it had no rear view camera. It had all the latest, and it was a new model. Piece of shit. How does the consumer benefit? By having that competition. Ford has to keep up with Nissan. Ford has to keep up with Honda and Toyota and with BMW and Mercedes and all these other great automobile companies. And guess what? They're in competition with us. Makes them better, too. All right? So, really, let's give Rand Paul's legislation a shot.
Like, well, I'm really shocked. I found that out today that they're actually going to give Rand Paul's healthcare ideas. I mean, you realize when they first started, they literally kept them out of the room.
Locked them out.
They locked them out of the room. So, you know what? Thank God. And to Rand Paul's credit, for people out there, I know people who don't like libertarians and you think he's a pain in the ass. Let me tell you something. He's the only principled guy. When they did this last round of things, look, we have to repeal the Obamacare completely. Republicans actually didn't want to do it. They just wanted to water it down and get rid of some, a fair criticism from the Democrats. They were just focusing on getting rid of some taxes that benefited like the healthcare companies and providers. You know, that's not all there is to healthcare. So do me a favor, listen to this guy and give it a shot.
And then the other thing also, just to tag on to this before we move on.
Yeah.
Trump also announced that he's got his tax cut plan going now.
I haven't
seen the details.
Oh, I have.
Oh, you have?
Yeah. The top rate is going to be cut for the wealthy from, it's currently 39.6. They're cutting it to 35.
Nice.
And the corporate tax, everything, they're going to cut it down to like 15% or something.
So, wonderful.
Okay.
But sort of tagging on to what we were saying about healthcare, that once you give it to people, Larry, they don't want to give it up because it's free, quote unquote. Same thing with taxes. The government is used to taxes. So the first thing I heard out of Bernie's mouth was, well, if he's going to cut $15 billion in savings, he has to make up that money to the government somehow. Why? See, here's the problem liberals have. They think that taxes are their money.
Right.
They think it starts out in their pockets, and they're just somehow holding it for us. That they're somehow spending it more wisely than we would, Larry. Yeah. Here's news for Bernie, Elizabeth Warren, Chuck Schumer, all you, and some, and most Republicans too. It's not your money. You know what a tax cut is? It's a prevention of theft. It means you didn't steal my money to begin with. Yeah. It's not that it was your money that I stole from you. You got it backwards, you motherfuckers. It's our money that you're stealing from us. So when someone gives a tax cut, all that means is you're not sticking your hand in my pocket.
Right. And you're getting less. Now, obviously, if it goes from the corporate, it's going to go down to 15%. Look, let them repatriate that money. We have like $1 trillion overseas. Let's get that money back here working. And, I mean, stop trying to – they already pay taxes on it over there. And you're double taxing them? I mean, it's ridiculous.
It's not just double taxing, by the way. It's double taxing and the penalty. So it's it's not just the corporate rate, right? If they brought that money back in, they're subject to another 30-35% penalty. Yeah. In other words, they're saying, oh, you made money overseas? Fuck you. You got to bring it in anyway. So that's why companies like Apple and Microsoft
holding
companies are in Ireland. Because Ireland has like a 2% corporate rate. And they're like, we'll be like the mafia, you know, like money launderers. Just bring this money in. And you know what? If the U.S. were smart, they'd do the same thing. And then we'd have all that money that's all our dollars that are floating around the world would make their way here.
Yeah.
You dumb fucks.
Yeah. Okay? That's the fault of the Democrats. They've been insisting on getting their pound of flesh from these rich, evil corporations.
Evil conglomerate
fucking assholes. So, look, the tax plan, I actually think sounds decent. Pretty good. Whether it's going to be a true middle class tax cut that Trump's putting it out there, we have to see the final numbers.
You have to cut spending to go with the tax cut.
Exactly. That's the other thing that's really, try to remember, we have $20 trillion in debt. The interest on it is nuts. At some point, I know that there's very little political will in the Capitol to deal with that. At some point, you know, spending's going to have to, someone's going to have to be bold enough to come up with a plan for like 5 or 10 years and say, you know, whether you adjust it to inflation or whatever you're doing, you're going to have to say, this is how much we're going to spend and start trying to get that down. Because let me tell you something. For all you people on the left who are worried about climate change, I had to tell this to a friend of mine. That he's really worried that, like, the world's coming to an end.
Right.
Yeah, they're very alarmist about it. That's why they're also doing the science is done stupidity. I told him, I said, let me tell you something. If the economy blows up, I said, if the debt goes from like 20 trillion to 25, 30, I said, one of these days, you're going to realize like what a disaster this is. And it's going to affect everybody. And you're not going to be worried about the weather, the fucking asshole. If our economy goes like crashing down because people, especially the Democrats, because they just don't want to stop spending money. Like the moment they hear that they have less money to spend, and it's a problem with people on the left, like, you know, like Bernie and their people. Like, if you talk to his supporters, they want to pay taxes. They think it's great. This is their formula.
They don't want to give it to the government, and
they'll spend it on shit. And that way, like, give me free healthcare, give me free education.
Right.
Some of them want a house to live in. And that way I can go about my life and do whatever stupid shit I'm doing all day. No one guy I saw in an interview. He also, not only does he want all that, he thinks the government should give everybody $100,000 a year for walking around money. I mean, like some of these people, I don't know what their knowledge of economics is, but you cannot just have this debt out of control. So work on the taxes and work on spending.
And by the way, here's something that I've said repeatedly that most people just don't understand because they don't understand math, and I'm talking mainly about liberals and just statists in general, which includes Republicans. You don't have to cut spending that much. If you kept spending flat, like just no increase, forget decreasing, just no increases, for 7 years at the current productivity of our economy, you'd have the debt eliminated. 7 years. And by the way, with no real painful cuts, just keeping shit the way it is. See, because Democrats do the following. If you spent $100 last year, if you spend $100 again this year, they consider that a cut. Because they're used to spending 20% more the next year, or 10% or 5% more the next year. So in their plan, you should be going from 100 in spending to 105. And if you stay at 100 or even go to 103, Washington is the only place where you can have a 3% increase and Democrats will look you in the eye in dead seriousness and say, that was a cut. And that's the problem. People don't understand math. Larry goes, the pain, I'm telling you, it's not painful. It's just being conscientious.
Responsible.
Being responsible. Exactly. Being fiscally responsible. To just say, let's not borrow anymore.
Yeah.
Our interest is 100% of GDP. The right. interest on our debt is 100% of GDP.
And equally scary, China has a lot of our debt.
Yeah,
you got to be worried.
And
about
by the
that.
Way,
they're not exactly our friends.
You know, in the hands of an idiot like Trump, China holding all that debt means that he would just cancel the debt, meaning that he would just say, "We don't owe you money anymore. Come get it." And that would either be war, or it would be the collapse. The literal collapse of our financial system. Yeah. If you thought 2008 was bad, that would be nothing compared.
You can't do that. That's what the Greeks did to the Germans. That one Greek guy is like, "We're not paying you back." And don't forget World War II.
He was a communist, by the way.
Yeah, but he was like, "Don't forget World War II." Like, you're still doing that?
Yeah.
Like, all right.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you saw what happened there. They just devalued everything. It's just like, yeah, it's fucked up. So. You don't want to do anything to your sovereign debt. You can't fuck with that and still be a civilized nation. So you got to just cut spending.
Yeah.
And all you liberals just get with the program. A tax cut of $15 billion does not mean someone stole $15 billion from you. Yeah. What it means is spend $15 billion less. That's what it means.
Yeah.
All right.
So as a last topic, let's do this. Yes. You have now.
Yes.
Has gone to the big whorehouse in the sky with his pipe. And you his man, which he used tremendously. Back in 1953, you borrowed $8,000 to set up Playboy magazine. It was very sophisticated. We had real writers for it. And every other couple of pages, there'd be women's boobs. You wouldn't see
them. Well, Marilyn Monroe was the first one.
You wouldn't see vaginas, but you would see boobs.
The Bush.
Yeah.
But
he was anti-Bush. But he started the publication, and then it grew into an empire. There were Playboy clubs.
Peaked in the 70s, would you say? Right?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. When I went, my high school prom. Here in the city, after we had dinner at Tavern on the Green, myself and some other couples, we went to the Playboy Club on 59th Street, drinks, and it was hilarious. It was actually very cool, man, with the bunnies, with their silly tails. You probably couldn't even do it anymore now. It would be considered such sexist or misogynist. Or it would probably get protested by, like, Antifa. But you set up a huge empire, and, he was at the forefront of the sexual revolution. Yeah. Because at the time that he did this, this is interesting. At the time that he did this, states could ban contraceptives. You never saw naked. You had TV shows where married couples slept in separate beds. They had like twin beds on TV shows. Also, I Love Lucy. It was they mentioned it today. I was reading one thing said she couldn't say she was pregnant on the show. She was expecting or make a gesture like my stomach's getting big. Like, yeah, so you, 91 years old, he died of natural causes.
Well, yeah. The Hugh Hefner story is very interesting on a lot of different levels. First of all, first and foremost, a great entrepreneur. Forget the whole sexual revolution thing, but just a study in how you run a successful business, starting with next to nothing, starting with a camera, and like Larry said, $8,000 in 1953, which was a lot of money in 1953.
Yeah, that was a big loan. It
might be like $50,000 now or something.
Yeah.
But, and through dogged determination, not being afraid of the social conventions, understanding a need in the market. Because, look, when you had girly films, and girly films go back to when film was developed. You know, it's not like porn wasn't around. It was around. But it was like, literally, you had to go to Tijuana to get it. And if you got caught with it in the U.S.,
you get arrested.
You go to jail, okay? So Hugh Hefner took a chance with all that stuff. He was a risk taker. He was an innovator. And the thing about the articles and the writers, you know, that's an old joke. Oh, I used to, when we were kids, they say, "Oh, I bought the Playboy for the articles, not for the new broads, for the articles." But when you look at some of the people who were featured in Playboy, like John Updike and
Gore Vidal,
I think Stephen King may have contributed to it.
Yeah.
Like top writers and theoreticians and politicians had contributed to Playboy. Another thing people don't realize is Hugh Hefner did a lot for the integration of the U.S. The famous story of the way he supported Dick Gregory, the black stand-up comedian, and he was always a supporter of stand-up comedians. A lot of people who are comedians understand this, but at the time, he used to have that show, Playboy After Dark, on TV, right? So People don't understand that he wasn't just the guy who chased Skirt, which he certainly was.
Yeah, he was married three times.
Let's face it.
Four kids.
Yeah,
he,
I mean.
He slept with almost all the playmates at the mansion.
Yeah. And those famous mansion parties, right? But I will say that to the feminists, or some feminists, who view Hugh Hefner as a liberator of women, I always found this funny. Now, to some extent, I view this as a scam, right? Because
that's our shit.
No, I know, right? Like, here's what's interesting. Did he have a part in the sexual revolution? Absolutely. There's no doubt about it, okay? But I've always maintained that women being women are really dopey. Here's a guy who, for better or worse, removed any sort of chauvinist responsibility that we men may have had towards women. So, for example, prior to the sexual revolution and all that, if you knocked up a woman, it was on the man to marry her.
Yeah, you had
to. And to financially support her and the kid. There was no option of leaving her. Like, literally, there were courts that said that would send cops to get a guy who knocked up a bitch and bring him back. Okay? There was no real option for abortion. All right? But who made it sort of okay? Like, there were guys like Hugh Hefner.
Yeah.
Okay? Then it's okay if you get knocked up, go get an abortion. Or, hey, you're a woman, live on your own. All right? So I've always found the paradox of things like that. By the way, I still struggle to understand why Hugh Hefner is a liberator of women, but Max Hardcore is a cocksucker.
Yeah.
And an oppressor of women.
Yeah.
Why? In both cases, women are doing what they want for money.
But the men are specifically making money off the women as a product.
Right.
Like, why is Al, when he was alive, why was Al Goldstein a dirty, scummy little porno Jew?
Right.
He used to refer to himself that way. If you ever watch Midnight Blue, he goes, if you want to be abused by a horny Jew pornographer, like he used to do that. Why is he a piece of shit? And this guy's sophisticated because he's in a robe and a pipe?
Yeah.
Look, he found a way to make money, you know, like Larry Flint. He found a way to make money off women's bodies and their sexuality because he realized that there was a big market for it.
Yeah. And God bless him for that.
That part of it's fine, but liberator of women, feminine, like those things are misplaced.
Right. I find the reaction of some feminists to him to be funny.
Yeah.
Because, like, if you're a feminist, I would think Hugh Hefner, and for some feminists, he was their number one target. Like, they didn't want to deal with him. And I'm not talking about the Phyllis Schlafly's of the world, the conservative women. I'm talking about the liberal, like, the ones that think that they're sophisticated and stuff like that. Hugh Hefner made it okay for women, for men to treat women like shit. Hugh Hefner probably kicked off the objectification of women to a greater degree than anybody else.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay?
Absolutely.
And while I have no problem with that, because at the end of the day, nobody's forcing those women to take off their clothes.
But it's really funny to me, like, if you want to know the effect of who he was and what he did, like, you realize in our culture, everybody knows who he is. You see him on shows, and, you know, that was a big deal. Like, I was watching some old episode of Married with Children the other day, and Kelly comes from, like, the basement. She goes, well, I found it under the stack of Playboys. And, like, Bud goes, damn, vandals must have put it in. And he goes, well, you know, we had code words. Like, you realize it's, like, everywhere. It's,
especially in the 70s, there were old episodes of The Odd Couple where he was a guest star. I mean, there was a time where Hugh Hefner guest starred on a lot of TV because he was such an iconic social figure.
He was in the first Beverly Hills Cop movie. Yep. Or the second one.
Yeah.
The second one where, Betty Murphy's going after this, like, arms dealer and whole thing. And the arms dealer is at the Playboy match at a party, and Eddie Murphy starts messing with him, and Hugh Hefner shows up.
Right.
He goes, I don't know who you guys are. You all have to leave. He goes, oh, you, and Eddie Murphy goes, Hugh Hefner! Holy shit! All right, man. Then whoever the bad guy is, all right, everybody, we're gonna wrap up the party. He goes, Joey, I fucked it up for everybody. And, like, you know, it's, it's just
very iconic. But,
yeah.
But I've always, always found the reaction to him from feminists to be very, very
well, you know, common. What? It's still a society that doesn't handle sex well.
Yes.
To that degree, I wish we were slightly more like Europeans. They take it a little bit more in stride than we do. We, you know, things like set us off. I mean, that are just, you know, like naked pictures of a woman at this point, it's as stupid as kneeling through, you know, it's just like, how could you be that upset over it? Like, for instance,
all these people in Puerto Rico. Look at what's happening. Why aren't you upset about that? You're worried about a football player kneeling down. You know what they should do? Look, here's what you do. At the networks, you know how they no longer show a person who runs on the field at a baseball game?
Right.
Don't show them kneeling down. Just put the camera somewhere else if it bothers you.
Well, let's be honest. They don't have to cover that.
No, not at all. They don't have to show it. They don't have to talk about it. They elect to do it. All right. But you know what? If it bothers you that much, yeah. So
at the end of all this, Hugh Hefner, RIP, yeah. 91 years old. He led a full life, certainly one full of pussy.
Yeah. So they said in the one article he had sex with more than like 1,000 women.
Nice.
Which is great because I look at that and I'm like, wow, he's had sex with more than 980 more than I have. So yeah. that's great. I figure it's probably in the upper teens.
Yeah.
1,000. That's hilarious. Now, like, I grew up a Kiss fan, and like, Gene Simmons says he slept with more than like 5,000 women. That's like,
I think Gene Simmons is full of shit.
But yeah, probably. Whatever. But, well, you know what, you? I do.
See you on the other side.
See you on the other.
Anyway, all right. Thank you for joining us for this episode of The Riot. Join us again next week where we'll repeat this nonsense. Until then, this has been your host, Big Fat John.
And Juno Larian.
Peace.
Join us every week at theriotshow.com to follow the latest exploits of Big Fat John and Judo Larry M. This is Mark, the man with the golden voice, and I just love Sunday morning plumpkins.